Welcome back. Absolute Cuts, episode fucking
33.
Yeah, something like that. Who knows?
You're now into the money, like that.
No, God, no.
Not
no.
money, but like that.
No, that wasn't an exasperation of doing the podcast. Before we started recording this, if you're watching the YouTube and our clips, and not just audio version, Ryan has just pointed out the fact that I'm slightly dressed up, and you look like someone left you. And I was like, it doesn't really matter. But in my own head, I was going, I'm going to bring this up immediately.
You sold me right down the river. Just as we were doing that, before the clap had started, yeah. I was just like, yeah.
I don't think I've ever, because they're like, cargo pants?
No, they're not cargo pants. They're just sweats, really.
Right.
Sweatpants, but I can't say sweatpants.
But they've got two
American
pockets on the side.
I don't know what that's about.
So I'd never seen that. I don't.
You keep your cum tissues in there.
I don't think the homeless require that amount of storage.
I think the homeless require more storage on themselves.
That is a good point, actually. Now that I'm kind of
thinking that,
going
out.
That over in my head, they probably do require more places to keep things.
When I was homeless, I kept most of my shit in a locker.
Really? Mm. So you could afford a locker?
Yeah.
You ever think of sleeping in a locker?
It was like a dollar.
Curling up like a cobra.
I remember it was like a dollar a day. Keep the thing in the locker, and then it was also $1.25 for down in East Village for like a big pizza slice and a can of Coke.
So when you were homeless, what would the cutoff point be to suck someone off for money?
I didn't get that bad. I also had a return flight.
I know, but what would be the cutoff?
What would be the cutoff? Well, like, if
what would be the cutoff in real life? Actually, even
I did it within 2 hours. I had all my money still.
So
I don't think I would do it.
You wouldn't? Not no money at all?
No money at all.
No money at all to suck someone off.
I'm devastated.
I reckon.
Well, I guess I'll burn this 50.
I reckon for me 10 grand.
You would suck someone off for 10 grand.
Yeah. But you'd have to give me a couple of days to get the money together.
That's so stupid.
Phoning my dad. I'm in a bit of a hole here.
Oh, God. Do you know what's in the news today? Did you see all the NFL Taylor Swift horrible stuff?
No.
About the AI pornography?
No.
So all these, like, I think it must be Kansas City fans, anyway, have, like, typed it all in, like Taylor Swift's like AI porn. It's fucking mad. It's horrific. Like, I think she's going to start suing them all, as she should. It's just basically all these things of Taylor Swift, like completely naked up shagging fans in the stands and stuff. And like,
And this is just this is something the AI has created.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're just like just hearing the thing, and you're just like, this is where people have now completely lost their fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's all that deep fake stuff where you can, like, they're putting like celebrities' faces over.
Aye, that's a dodgy, because there's something, you know, like, remember when we did, what's the film we did with Mr. Skin, the celebrities?
Oh, God, I.
Bloody, not Judy.
Old school, was it?
No, Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl.
Knocked Up?
Knocked Up, yeah.
Knocked Up.
There was always something, I think, in terms of naked people, there's always something extra, there's an extra frisson about finding a naked person that is a celebrity that's not normally naked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the way people are more into OnlyFans stuff.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
As opposed to just, because really, realistically, why would you ever pay for anyone's OnlyFans page? Whereas, I mean, you've literally got all of pornography on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
At
yeah.
your fingertips. But it is that. It's that kind of, you shouldn't be looking at this.
Yeah, yeah. And that stuff's going to be wild now, if that's the first. That's the first I've seen, like, everybody's going wild. Because it's in the NFL, it's all NFL fans.
Yeah.
I saw this video of, like, 10 black guys just hammering Natalie Portman, right? And I was proper, like, that was me.
That was you?
She stole my fucking credit. You wouldn't like it if I'd wandered in Black Swan starring Mila Kunis and Ryan Cullen, would you?
Is that not the film Attack of the Clones? I don't even know what I was going for there.
I sat there going...
I was desperately trying to think of a Star Wars pun, and that's all I could think of. I deep fake stuff's amazing. I want to create a porn, right? Where I want to masturbate to a porn where it's me deep faked on somebody, right? But the deep fake is also watching a deep fake of me, and it just keeps going like a mirror until there's one tiny wee me, and he's the only one that's not wanking to another version of me. A proper fever dream wank.
What is going to happen? You're just going to wake up after that and go, it was like Inception.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, yeah.
It just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
And just lose my mind.
You need a little, the spinny tub thing.
Absolutely. But then get committed to a mental institution and then going, did they take an over? Did they take a trip or was it like DMT or something? No, nothing like that at all. It's like, did they have a brain injury? No, he just keeps babbling about the fact that why wasn't the tiny wee him wanking to all the other bigger hims?
Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
Who the fuck do you think you are, tiny wee me? You think you're better than the rest of us?
Little Russian doll, Mark. That's so fucked. I feel scrambled now thinking about it.
Yeah, but when you start getting into it, it really does. Like, how far you could go.
The worst thing is that means none of you are actually real either. Because the first one of you would have been deepfaked. No, you'd be watching.
I'm the only one. I'm the puppet master in this.
What the fuck is like, this?
Who's that guy in the Matrix that controls the architect?
I'm the architect. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, but I'm the only one that's losing their mind because the other ones are all deep faked. So
if I was in the Matrix, and this is devastating for me, I am definitely Cypher.
Mm. Which one's he? Is that Joe Pantoliano?
Yeah, that's me.
The double crossing piece of shit.
That's definitely me.
Yeah, that is you actually.
I want a taste steak. Just give me. Yeah. I'll send them up. That is me.
That is you actually. That's weird. Like, I hate the way the Matrix has become like such a kind of parable and thing for incel cunts to cling on to. You know, the whole red pill, blue pill shit.
Yeah, typical.
I hate the way the Matrix has been ruined.
Yeah.
Matrix ruined. Let the Matrix ruin itself.
Yeah.
By releasing sequels. Don't you be ruining it as well.
The fourth one. Oh.
Yeah. I've never seen that.
Revolution. Oh, shite. No. Things class, though. I love the second one.
Nah.
I fucking love the second one. And now you have to kind of like give up the fact that like the actual storyline is kind of gone. But there's about a 40-minute... There's a 40-minute Matrix Reloaded scene. The whole film for about 40 minutes is unbelievable, where it's when they leave the Merovingian and the whole way, and then it turns into the key guy, and then it's the whole fucking fight in the chateau, which jumps into the cars, and then goes straight into the car thing. That's all like one 40-minute, 45-minute scene. That is cool. The rest of it, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the first one is still, it's one of only two films. Where I have been to watch at the cinema. I went like in the middle of the afternoon because I was at uni at the time. And it's one of only two films where the audience have broke into applause at the end of it, right? The other one was Braveheart, right? Genuinely. Like the Matrix one, I was joining in. But the Braveheart one, although I love Braveheart and I get proper fucking like... nationalistic during Braveheart.
It's like me and Nathan the Fowler.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't clap at the end of Braveheart.
Jesus.
I was masturbating too hard.
I've told you before.
I was masturbating, imagining a tiny me.
There is that poor things, I think I told you someone at the very end.
Oh.
Someone at the very end because it was so fucking, it's like, I cried laughing. I've never seen perfect timing. Like, just when the final credits come in, it was again Emma Stone's being horsed again near the end and everything. And then the credits came up, and one boy just went, woo! And I fucking, we were crying. It was just perfect timing.
So we were talking about this in the last weeks, and I went and watched all the trailers for the films that I hadn't seen of the Oscar nominations. and it looks utter shite.
It's mental.
It looks fucking
mental.
Dog shit.
Do you know, I fucking Googled up. Did I tell you about this? I used to do like film reviews for the college paper and all. And I checked out who the director was, a Greek guy. And I clicked in his other films, Dogtooth.
And The Lobster.
I hated The Lobster.
Even watching the trailer, I was like, this is one of those films that the whole time is just going to be going, look how clever this film is, honestly.
Do you know what? I thought that was going to be that, and it isn't up as arse as it looks.
I'll never watch it.
You probably won't. And I don't even think you'll...
I don't have the time.
I think you would kind of like... I think you'd be surprised by it, but I don't think...
I don't have time now. I would love to be a person that has time to find new things, but I'm now at a stage in life where I'm like, I've got so little free time in terms of working and having a family.
That you're like...
Unless there is a 90% chance I'm going to enjoy something.
Yeah.
Music, films, books, TV. I'm not even taking the chance anymore.
If I'm going to...
Fuck off.
I'll go watch The Beekeeper this Friday.
Yeah, see, I'll watch that. I'll watch that. Like, Liam Gallagher and John Squire released an album together, so I'm like that. Even if it's shit, I still like it. You're literally... You might as well just inject this right into my brain.
Do you know, I was in Poor Things, and there was one scene where she was like, she just went to the very start, she just pisses herself, right? In the hallway. And one of the guy comes in and just goes, wow, what a pretty retard. And
I was, Jesus.
And I fucking fell about. I was like, I'm in.
So is it not, it's someone, from what I gathered, there's people exploiting a mentally disabled person for sex.
No, she's dead.
She's dead. Yeah. Oh, no, I know, but she gets reanimated in like a Frankenstein
and
type.
And she's all kind of like, so basically she's kind of going backwards. She's an adult, she's kind of learning things again. But she gets smarter and smarter as it goes on and more normal.
Right.
But she's still...
Right.
Yeah, and they're all just exploiting the shit out of her.
I mean, that's... It's like Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
We were...
Passenger 57. What?
Oh, God, we need to do that one day.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Before we get on to the film, let's talk about each other's weekends, because I was in Tenerife and you were in Skegness.
Skegness,
so what happened at the
fucking middle of the storm as well, right? So I land in, I've never been to Skegness.
Just Storm Butler. Isha or Storm Jocelyn?
Was there two? It was Isha, I think.
Isha.
Isha, sorry. what? He goes, but anyway, we went down to, so basically it was a Sunday afternoon gig. It starts at 2 o'clock. Have you done it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I heard about Butlins.
You've never done it before?
I've never been to a Butlins or Skegness.
Oh my God.
So I walked in going, wow, I couldn't believe we found somewhere basically worse than Blackpool.
It's insane.
I can't believe it exists, kind of, or people go to it. Yeah. It was like, it's quiet at the moment, I'm afraid. There's only like 3,000 on site. I was like, what?
Just to put you in the picture, right? This gig starts at about 1:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday. You turn up and you expect, I expected to be like a conference room of a holiday camp.
Yeah.
Right? The kind of place where they've just shoved a gig on and put some seats out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can still kind of see the lights. You go into a fucking auditorium.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's about 2,500 people there, and they're all wrecked.
Yeah, yeah. They were completely fucked.
Yeah.
We got a good gig, and I was told that they were an older crowd.
Aye.
Because it was a Soul weekend.
Oh, I see that side.
So they were like...
It depends who's been on in the Saturday night as to how good the gig's going to go.
So we had a good one, but I was like half looking at this going, oh my God. Yeah. First two jokes, silence. I walked out and I could hear what the thing, because I was like, fuck, deafening silence. They were just like, what the fuck about this thing? And then I said one or whatever, and then I got them on, and then they were fucking great from there. But for the first two, I was like, oh no, because I'm here with all these Butlins deaths. So anyway, but we land down in this, was doing a gig in Manchester. So I meet him in Manchester. I get a mega bus down to Manchester, jump in with him after his gig, and we drive down to Skegness.
That night?
Yeah, Saturday night. So we were going to stay in Skegness that night in the apartments that all looked like, I don't know, if anybody follows me on fucking Instagram, I put up a picture of it. It looked like witness protection, the houses, right? So we land in and they have no They have no fucking trace of us on any paper or house. They're like, what the fuck? And we've already arrived at midnight, basically. But we had pre-warned them, we'll be in now. No, no thing. He goes, what's the comedian? We have a guy called Windsor we're on with. And they were like, they had no sign of him. And I go, well, he is here. And he was asleep, you know. We found out later he had the apartment and he had all the everything set up for us.
And he had all the keys and shit?
No, he didn't. He they were still supposed to give us keys, but he was like, ah, the rooms were so cold. I heated the rooms for you and all, waiting for you.
Right.
And him and his girlfriend were there, and you never turned
that's
up.
Nice. That's
we woke up at 10 o'clock and we were being nice around the apartment and quiet. And then I opened the door eventually because the door, there was a little thing on the door, and she goes, I just hadn't moved. And I was like, huh? And then opened it up and we weren't there. He was like, what the fuck? They could not, basically, we were running around. They were like, go down to this. Eventually, they gave us a key to the house. We walked down at about 1, right? Put our stuff in, just our bags in the door. He says, we'll go out for the last hour and just like play games or get a drink or something quick before it finishes. We walk in. It's like a maze. So you keep getting lost. We're in the middle of the storm, like soaking wet. Your teeth are cold. It's that bad. Right. You're like plodding away. 20 minutes, get soaked. We won, me and Wah won something like 10,000 of them little tickets because he hit the jackpot straight away in one of them and all this. Couldn't, had nowhere to cash it in. We just chucked it in a bin. We were so cold, wet, and we couldn't be arsed carrying the amount of tickets. We just fucked them in a bin. There wasn't even kids to give it to you. You're like, here's fucking 500,000. Like, went back to the apartment, walked 20 minutes in the cold. Doors wouldn't open.
Oh, God.
Went back to the reception. They gave us a master key. We walked 20 minutes back. Didn't open. Walked the whole way back 20 minutes. Got to the manager, and he was like, we'll get you a lift down here. So with the manager, and this guy comes down with a master key, drives in with him, opens up, hits the key, not working. And we were just sitting there. It's like, we're in the middle of a fucking storm.
Yeah.
Our shit's in that door. We shouldn't even be in that apartment. We get in that apartment eventually, about 2:30 in the morning, like soaking wet and just fucking miserable. Apartments, there's a band in there. There's a guy from a band in there called Earth, Wind, For Hire.
Yes!
So Earth, Wind, For Hire are in there, and he's just like, what the fuck's this? And he just closes the door, so he's like angry that there's other people in his apartment. Clearly, as you would, coming in at 2 in the morning, we were like, yeah, we understand, I'm raging too. Apartment was fucking freezing, like I've never been colder, really, but the duvet of the other bed on us.
Oh my God.
The fucking, miserable as fuck, thought it was a disaster.
Do you have your room each?
No, yeah, we had a room each, but there were twin rooms each eventually.
All right, but Jesus.
Horrific. Woke up the next day, did all that, and then we were like, get out of here. And then we drove through the storm back.
Was Walk Compern?
No, Windsor.
Windsor was I. Jesus Christ, that's great.
What was headline?
But everyone had a decent one.
Yeah, everyone did well.
Ah, good. Aye, it's mental, that gig.
You're Tenerife.
Absolutely. Tenerife was roasting.
Roasting?
No, it wasn't roasting. we went, what was it? So I was over with Milo and Elliot.
Yeah.
And my flight was actually the only one to get there on time because we were all getting met at the airport by this dude, Steve, lovely guy. And they were basically arriving like 2 hours before me and then I was getting in. But Milo's flight ended up sitting in the tarmac for ages because it was an engine problem. Then Elliot's got diverted and landed in Lisbon and stayed there for a while because a guy had tripped on the way back from the toilet and smacked his head in a drinks trolley, right? So this guy's out cold and he's getting carried out, right? So Elliot's already fucking furious about this.
So that's such a funny...
As it was, it actually turned out all right because we all arrived at the same time.
Oh, right.
Well, we're within like 15, 20 minutes of each other. So then we go and do the sound check and then we get back, we get taken to the hotel. And you know, Elliot's got that like, he doesn't find trouble, but trouble always seems to find him.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So we're standing checking in, and we're having a laugh about something, and then this really wanky Spanish dude comes out from the office and tells us to keep it down. Right. So Milo's like, oh, I'm so sorry. We're enjoying ourselves on holiday. This is really out of order. Elliot, by this point, right? So Elliot's already had a fucking set to with these cunts because they asked for a card as a security deposit, right? So you don't trash the room. And Elliot's like, I don't have a card. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't have a car? And he was like, I driven by my phone. And I was like, so you've not brought any emergency card thing? No, on my phone.
That's mad.
And we're like that, right. So eventually we managed to get this sorted out. And then by this point with Gallard, he doesn't have an adapter for his charger to charge his phone or his laptop or anything. So I'm like, well, you can do it with the TV because all you need is like a... He's like, no, it'll work. I've not got that either. And then he starts speaking to this guy behind the reception and says, do you have any chargers, like adapter things? And he was like, yeah, we've got them. And then he's like, right, can I buy one? It's like, oh, 10 euros, we'll give you it for a couple of days. So he's like, all right, cool. And then the guy goes, cash only, right? And Ellis, cunt doesn't even have a card, right? So he's like, I don't have any cash. And he's like, can you use my phone? He's like, no, it needs to be cash. And he's like, right, can I just buy the charger from you for 10 euros? And he's like, no, you can't do that. So we're watching Elliot getting more and more irate, right? Me and Milo are pissed themselves. And then Milo turns to me and goes, I've actually got 20 euros, but I'm watching this play out.
Great.
So then, yeah, the gig was incredible. Like, great. Absolutely fucking incredible. The guy Chris that put it on, like, and him and Steve were absolutely amazing. It was a phenomenal gig. Everyone there had a great one. Everyone in the audience had a great one. And then we went out afterwards, went to an Irish bar that I sent you Irish bar singing Zombie.
Then
we went and we ended up like drinking till like 8 in the morning or something.
Great.
And then we went into this, like, you know, it's not a club because there's the clubs to get into there like cost a fortune.
Yeah.
Elliot wanted to go to one, but everyone else managed to talk him out of it.
It's like 50 quid or something.
Yeah. And we were in this like basically bar that was just open for fucking ages. And then I found this other room. And I
said, another room's never good.
I was wandering about and I kind of went through and I was like, let's go through here. Other room, right? And it's shitloads of folk just doing balloons. So I'm like, fuck, I've never moved quicker. I was like, Elliot, balloons, right? So I'm like, I'm just fucking chucking money at people. Going giving these people, and by this point we've got pally with people, like pally with folk from the gig. So
yeah,
fucking everyone's in there. And then I get Milo through, and I'm like, Milo, let's do a balloon. And he was like, I've never done a balloon. I was like, you honestly, if anyone will love this, it's you. And he's like, right, talk me through it. So I'm talking Milo through it, right? So I do it, and I'm like that, and Milo's just standing there like that, and he's made a fucking arse of it. Right, so I was like, right, no, right. So I'm talking him through it again and got him another one. Honest to God, the money I wasted on that stupid prick because he can't fucking breathe properly. Right?
It's very mild.
Aye. And then the next day, we were supposed to go to we were taken to the water park and we get given like all inclusive passes and all this kind of shit. And I feel quite bad about it now. But because of my neck thing last week, I had these quite really, really quite strong painkillers, but they're really drowsy. Right?
Yeah.
And I didn't take any the day of the gig because I was like, these are really going to affect the gig and I want it to go as well as possible. So I didn't take any, but then I was in fucking agony. Well, like alcohol kind of got me through.
Yeah.
And then the next day I was like, I am in absolute agony. I can barely move my head. So I whacked a load of them and then they hit me as soon as I got to the water park, right? So we got there and had some food and they make you feel nauseous as well. So I get in there and I started kind of picking at food and I was like, God, I'm starving, but this make me feel sick. And then once we got there, everyone was kind of putting their towels down and I lay down. I was like, I'm just gonna grab a quick, like, kind of 10-minute refresher on this sunbed. And I passed out and didn't move for the entire day. So I went to the world's biggest water park
and
slept for 6 hours on the same bed.
Great.
I felt fucking terrible. And at one point, I've obviously woken up because I was in the shade initially and the sun's moved.
Oh, yeah.
And I could feel my legs getting burned. So obviously I've grabbed a towel and put it over myself. And then, there's wee bits that were sticking out.
Yeah,
so I had like wee triangles of burn all over my...
wee zebra legs.
It was
fucking hell.
But it was class. It was great fun.
Tenerife, I wouldn't... I was about to go. I'd love to go, but I wouldn't.
It's one of those places like Benidorm. It's scary how quickly, me and Elliot were saying this, it's scary how quickly you realise I would really fit in here.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, like it's just...
Brits abroad.
Everything you want, you know.
Brits right. abroad.
We better get to the film.
Oh, God.
Chatting for ages. I know, I was trying to put it off. None of that happened. That's... I was just, improving that story, so we didn't need to talk about this fucking film. Right, it's your choice. It was my choice. God,
don't you fucking put this on
Jesus,
me.
So it was. I picked this because I'd never seen it, and I thought it would be a laugh.
I remember seeing this years and years ago, and I remember screaming laughing at especially one part, right?
Yeah, because so it's The Notebook, starring Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdam.
Yeah.
And what's it? Because you said when I said what this is what we're doing, you said there's one scene. What one were you?
Oh, the very last scene.
Oh my God.
The very final scene where the old couple, which obviously clearly was them two all along, die together.
Oh.
In the hospital bed. I was screaming, Jesus laughing. I don't know why. Christ. I was like, this is so fucking funny.
Oh.
It's like, died of a broken heart. And like, of a massive heart attack or Alzheimer's.
Oh my God. Like, that's that whole. Right.
My granddad's got Alzheimer's. That's not what Alzheimer's is half the time.
No.
There's loads to this film. This is great.
So, if you've never seen it, it's a film. It's a romantic. It's not even a romantic comedy. It's just funny. It's not even particularly romantic. It's a film about. It's a series of people chatting. And it fucking is about 2.5 hours long as well. Do you know what I did when I was watching this, right? Because I started watching it and I was like, first of all, this is boring the piss out of me.
Yeah.
And annoying me. So what I do quite a lot is if I've got a task that I don't want to do, I'll watch a film. I'll do 15 minutes of work and then reward myself with 5 minutes of watching something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And I did that with this, where I would watch 5 minutes and then I would do like 3 Excel pages of my taxes, right? I was watching this and doing my taxes at the same time. It's about a couple who fall in love one summer.
Yeah.
In some place in America. And then he's poor, she's rich, her parents don't approve, she moves
Romeo
off.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, marries someone else.
But speaking of Milo, her dad's basically Milo.
Yes, he is! Just with a better moustache. With an actual moustache.
Troy Hawk. So Troy Hawk's daughter marries...
That's exactly what I thought, because he's sitting there with exactly the same fucking Troy Hawk.
That is, just Troy Hawk, basically.
Yeah.
And her mother as well. What did we know her from? She was in.
She's the wife that is in Face Off.
Face Off. That's
yeah,
it.
Joan Allen. Yeah.
Joan Allen.
Yeah, she's actually really good in this.
Yeah, she's
a real piece of shit.
I would say the only thing that I could not think was the acting throughout was actually pretty good. Like,
do you think? I thought the acting was abysmal.
Bar Kevin Connolly. You know Kevin Connolly, guy from Entourage.
Is he the pal?
He's the pal that dies in the war.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's terrible.
He's brutal. Rachel McAdam annoyed the piss out of me.
Gosling
annoyed the piss out of me.
She annoys me half the time, and half the time I think she's brilliant. It's really fucking... Like, it's either great or terrible. I always find her... not really her fault. She does a lot of crap films, you know.
Yeah.
Typecasted and crap. It's very funny that this was films 20 years old and Ryan Gosling's still, like, the heartthrob leading man.
See, what I don't understand, right, is... Did they de-age the two of them in this early scenes?
No.
I know he's got a beard later on, but he looks, I mean, body-wise as well, he looks nothing like the later. Like, the Gosling that tries to have sex with her early doors.
Okay. And
is different to the Gosling that has sex with her later on.
Okay. Yeah,
like
okay.
Body wise, he looks much more built.
They must have just.
So they can't. That you can't be like they can't.
I don't think
like,
that would have been edited. They must have just like met him,
and he just looks younger.
They must have just gone build yourself up there for a couple of weeks.
I'm gonna say something outlandish.
Okay.
I don't think Ryan Gosling's that good looking.
No, really? Why?
I don't think I have never thought this. I think he looks. There's something he looks not weird, but I don't think he's classically good looking. Like, I think James Marsden, the guy she nearly marries, is better looking than Gosling.
Ah, come on.
Right? I'll give you loads of people that are better looking than Gosling.
Yeah.
Right? Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Better looking than Gosling. Brad Pitt, better looking than Gosling.
Yeah.
DiCaprio.
Henry Cavill, no.
Henry Cavill. Fuck off, Henry Cavill. He's the handsome man in the world, you stupid tit.
Not Henry Cavill. I reckon any of the women that listen to this podcast are going to be on my side in this. Henry Cavill is not as good looking as Ryan Gosling.
Brad Pitt's better looking.
I'd say Brad Pitt was definitely when he was younger, yeah.
DiCaprio, better looking.
No.
Chris Hemsworth, better looking.
Yes. Me.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle. Denzel.
Denzel's better looking.
What? Yeah, I'd say definitely. Denzel. Right, yeah.
I'm trying to think of other heartthrobs. Zac Efron, better looking.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Bradley Cooper, better looking.
No, definitely not.
Yep.
Do you know who I think's always fucking, like, Channing Tatum's dreadful. That guy's not a good looking chap.
But he's buff. That's the...
He's a buffy.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
No.
That's what you said.
No, absolutely not.
I've got to edit it in. You'll hear the whine. You'll hear a whine.
But no, I like him as an actor, but I've never looked at him and gone, he's got a very flat face. He's got a jaw, but he's not got a particularly strong Hollywood leading man jawline.
His lack of character, it always passes off as mysterious, but really, I just think it is a lack of character.
Yeah.
I reckon he'd be no crack on a night out. Like.
No. And do you know when I realised it wouldn't be a good laugh? See, when we were talking about the Golden Globes and somebody made a joke about him and he just fucking stared at the guy. But there was none of that. Like, I remember when Gervais was making jokes about DiCaprio, like, owned it.
I would laugh even if it was shit joke. I feel like you'd be...
But he looked genuinely raging.
Yeah, I mean, like, because it's funny because he's very funny in films, right? Yeah. Gosling, he's so funny in Barbie.
He's
really good at it. That scene in Barbie is one of the funniest things I've ever
seen. I've seen Barbie.
Oh, where she goes, I'll be your non-committal... or whatever, fuck buddy, essentially. And he goes, just 1 second. And he walks in the house and he just walks around the corner. You can hear him just go, sublime! He comes back out. Okay.
I'm not saying he's not a good-looking guy. I'm saying he is not classically Hollywood...
I think he...
chiseled jaw.
Right, he's not chiseled jaw. He does have a weak jaw. It does come in.
Yeah. That's what I mean. He's got quite a flat face.
Right, yes, okay. I see what you're saying. He does have a bit of a dish head.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, the irony isn't lost, the fact that we, two of us, are discussing how good-looking Ryan Gosling is.
I'm not, I haven't even remotely shared that. I'm wearing my pajamas here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking stadium. Was he not Ken there in the Barbie film?
Stadium. What is a...
Paul Giamatti, that's my...
Paul Giamatti?
Paul Giamatti, that's my speed.
What is a Gosling, is it a baby goose? Or a baby swan.
I don't know.
I think a baby swan's a cygnet. So it's a baby
I think
goose.
It is a cygnet. Yeah, yeah. Baby is goose. I saw swans and gooses yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
In your
swans house? Swan gooses when I met my mates.
Talk to me, goose.
Do you know, right?
I think that's why he goes back to the... I think there's a subtle thing the director does in this. Do you know when they go that ridiculous scene where he rows her out to the, like, a lagoon?
Fucking, yeah.
And it's just full of fucking geese and swans.
Right, they'll be going back to Guatemala soon.
Yeah. I think that was a Gosling nod.
I see what you're saying.
That, because there's a couple of ways I'd improve this film. I'd have ended the film there where he just turned into a swan. Just a big, massive Gosling became a massive goose. And that's he was rejoining his people. And all the geese were going to sacrifice Rachel McAdams.
Do you know, very quickly though, because I reckon this might be a film that a lot of people won't bother watching that listen to this podcast, but listen to the episode, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically just a rom-com, blah, blah, blah. It's told through this woman's got Alzheimer's in an old person's home. The dude's, it's clearly them two, and he's just telling her the story of how they met in their life, and then she eventually remembers, and they die together basically in the last scene, right? But I think how I would end the film is that he would die, and she would wake up not knowing who he is.
Oh.
So he would die, she'd wake up, and she'd just turn around and go, ah!
That's amazing. A dead guy screaming in her bed.
It'd be a dead guy that she doesn't know in her bed.
See, I had another way of ending it.
Right.
I had another way of ending it, that she never actually had dementia.
Okay.
She'd been faking it for years in an attempt that she didn't need to deal with this cunt anymore.
And then he kept turning up.
She very quickly realized that she should have married James Marsden, okay, the Richard dude.
Yeah.
And then ever since she realized the mistake, rather than going, right, I fucked up again, embarrassment, she just pretended to have dementia for the rest of her life. And like every night when she would do the theatrics of not remembering who he was, she'd eventually go back to her room and go, oh, gee. You have to go through that again tomorrow.
Can you just lock him out? He doesn't even, she's like, I thought if I faked this, he wouldn't be allowed in here. He seems to live in the fucking old person's home with no.
What rules and regulations are involved in this nursing home?
Oh, man.
A man who's got nothing wrong with, like, he's had two heart attacks.
Yeah, but not in it.
But
yeah,
he has his faculties. He can still take care of himself.
Yeah.
Why is he allowed to live in the old person's home? And why is he allowed to torture and distress this woman every single day of her life?
Why? She is screaming half the time, yeah.
Why aren't the orderlies going, we're not paid to deal with this shit?
So just let her go.
Every night, this woman is terrified. We need to come in and sedate her. Strap her down because she's fucking... because she suddenly finds herself at dinner getting off with a guy she's got no idea who he is. And who the fuck's helping him in this? They give him... what nursing home has got a separate room that you can have a romantic meal in that's been set up by the nurses? What is that? Is there not a guy that thinks he's fucking Napoleon has taken a shit in the fucking pool? You don't have to deal with him. You've got enough time to light candles and cook a meal for this fucking sleazy cunt.
It's so good. And I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. She was with him basically the whole day in the story too. Like, she remembers the entire story as it goes along. I'm like, this is not... like, my granddad's got Alzheimer's. And the last time we went in to visit was... the orderly. We thought it was the orderly because she was working there. We found out she used to work there. Mm-hmm. And she's got Alzheimer's. And now they just... so she still walks around working. So we were... but she's actually just a patient there. So she came over and started chatting to me in the middle of it. I was chatting to her granddad. And I was like, what? What are you... what? I was like... it was odd. Leave me alone. Right. And then she just kind of like, my brother was sitting there and my brother had a full bottle of like Coke or something. And she just goes, anyway, he's all okay there, aye. And he just lifted his Coke and just fucked it in the bin. And Thomas was just like, what the fuck? And then my mum's like, patient. And I went, oh, like she was wandering around. She's a patient. Oh. She used to work there. She's got Alzheimer's now.
Oh
like,
my God.
So she still wanders around doing the things. For a moment, I was about to deck her. Imagine.
Do you know, I visit your granddad quite a lot. I read him a story. I try and convince him that he abused me as a child. My story's so convincing, eventually he remembers.
That's
and
so
then panics.
This is like something I said to you about the fear. Remember I said something to you about the fear in her eyes?
Oh, because my gran had dementia as well.
Was it?
Yeah.
There we go. We're doing. Yeah. We've been going at each other's dementia rhythm.
Oh, Jesus.
I go into yours, and I used to send in videos of... I used to play videos of the Spice Girls, and I used to try and convince her she was a Spice Girl. And then I'd be like, at the very end, he goes, no, you weren't, you wanker. No, you weren't, you were nothing. You're a barber. And then piss on her and leave. I show her Spice Up the World like it's a biography.
Sometimes I try and convince your granddad that he's Oppenheimer.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's what you did. To the boss.
I just show him pictures of Nagasaki.
People's skin hanging off.
This is what you did.
Oh, fucking hell. This is such a terrific torment. Terrible disease, because you get diagnosed with it about 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But anyway. Oh, lordy. But you know, this is a love story, by the way, between a homewrecker and Ryan Gosling, who's extremely creepy and abusive at the start.
They're not a nice couple.
No, they're not. They pass off that thing. We're always fighting. They're half choking each other.
She hits him all the time. There's a mental bit where she's leathering him and he starts leathering himself. You're like,
oh, that's right.
What's romantic about any of this?
First of all, the first thing is when they meet at a fun fair.
Yeah. Right? Old school fun fair as well.
I've got four pages of
which
notes.
Which look great.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan of pre-war fun
fairs. Pre-war fun fairs. You know, she goes, he asked her for a dance and she says no, and he walks over and her friend goes, I think he likes you. No, you reckon? Just wanted for a fucking wee dance in the fun fair for no reason. Obviously, you fucking...
Don't. The mental bit where she's on the Ferris wheel and... He jumps on the Ferris wheel and then just hangs, and the guy stops it.
Mm.
And there's only like one carriage that's her pal that reacts. The rest of the folk are just cool, swinging there.
Oh, him again.
While this guy threatens to commit suicide.
Unless she.
Like, this is what I don't get, right? When people go on about this is. Oh my God, some of the romance in this film and the gestures he makes. He threatens to commit suicide unless she goes out with him.
Yeah, scum.
Aye.
Literally scumbag.
And then her reaction is to whack his pants down.
A wee bit of sexual assault while they're at
exactly
it.
Exactly.
While they're at it. This film's fucked, like. He's meant to be like the romance dude, the guy writes this books, these books.
Yeah.
Nicholas Sparks, isn't it? Or whatever you call it.
Aye. But.
I mean. That was literally, I'll threaten to kill myself. And then she went, well, here's your fucking dickhead.
Exactly, I know.
And then there's a dude there sitting there the whole time. I'd love it, he just leathered him in the stomach.
Just punch him in the balls.
Fall down, hit every fucking bar on the way down. Run it.
I also hated the...
When I see something I like, I want it.
Creepy,
he goes,
man.
I want it. That's what he said to her. He followed her in the street then. He sees her in the street and goes, if I see something I like, I want it. Imagine you did that, all of the things there.
This is, again, my point.
You think it's because...
The point I have made, I don't know if I've made it in this podcast, I've made it in so many things, that good-looking men get away with shitloads more, and they fucking know they get away with it.
So, yeah, so you...
There is not a chance. If that was a normal-looking dude, if this was a film where... who's a normal-looking actor?
A normal looking dude,
like a character actor, not a leading man, not a just a good fucking actor,
let me see.
See, the thing is, most of them are good looking, so like,
we'll just go for Goggins.
Let's go with Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti. Right,
Paul Giamatti is in this film, right? Now they're not the same ages, obviously.
Yeah.
But so it's age appropriate. If Paul Giamatti does half the shit, even half the shit that Gosling does in this. Nobody watches this film. Everyone goes, what the fuck is wrong with this film?
Yeah.
Who would ever write a film like this?
It wouldn't be romantic, basically, unless he's good looking.
No, it would be a horror film, is what it would be. That's the difference. That's the difference between being handsome and being normal looking, right? If you're a handsome lead, any creepy shit you do is seen as romantic, right? Any creepy shit you do is horrific.
Yeah, yeah. Oh God!
If you're normal looking, you're the character in a stalkery horror film, and if you do exactly the same actions as a handsome man, it's suddenly it's a romantic comedy.
That's
Hollywood.
It is very true. Yeah, I can't imagine Paul Giamatti hanging off a bar going, I'll fucking kill myself.
Exactly.
Follow her in the street. When I see someone I like.
Do you know what would happen if Paul Giamatti did that? The sheriff would come along and shoot him. And then he'd fall to his death. And the headline the next day would be Weirdo Hangs from Weirdo Terrorizes Local Girl on Ferris Wheel. And then they'd never speak
Paul
of it again.
Paul Giosplatti.
Yeah.
Also, what is the notebook in this?
There's no fucking notebook. notebook.
But I don't know why it's called the notebook. I don't even think about that.
What is that? Is it his wee thing where he's reading? Why is he reading his own fucking life?
It's not his own life. It says she wrote it.
She wrote it.
I saw it at the end. Remember, she said she wanted to write shit at the thing. I actually only noticed the last scene. It didn't fucking make it. It didn't make it obvious enough. When he closes the book, kind of at the end, it says our life story, but it's signed her. So she's wrote it, forgot about it, and he's reading the story.
But then surely it's still the same life.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So why is he reading? Why is he having to read his own life? Why can't he remember his own fucking... Like,
that's right. Yeah.
It's actually written down. Just pretend.
He just
pick up a copy of the BFG and go, here's what our life was like.
You've stuck very heavily on the sex scenes here. She remembers that she wrote it. He's like, they weren't that long. He's like, I fucking hammered you.
But also...
I don't think I wrote that part.
Also, right, it's very credible he's done this every day, but in that Groundhog Way kind of thing, you'd get sick of it. You would get utterly sick of remembering you every night and then being panicked and beating you away and then having to get sedated.
He's like,
why not have a laugh and read a different book every day?
This is what, so you're, yeah.
So here's...
Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah, because you could convince, like... Jesus Christ, it turns out you were Beast in the X-Men. Like,
your whole family were killed by XL bullies. All different incidents. It's unbelievable.
Individual ones. All
individual, years apart. It could be the same one. We never caught any of this. Could be the same one. I've got stuff here like... here's another one. When they started half-dating, they lie in the middle of the road.
Mm.
Imagine just they lie in the middle of the road and then a car comes going like, nearly killed themselves and the person in the car. And they went, and she went, God. You know, they try to make rich people don't know how to have fun as well.
Yeah.
It's as offensive to rich people as it was to poor people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the rich people are all idiots and incredibly shallow, which obviously a lot of them are, but she was like, this is so much fun. Nearly got hit by a car. I've never felt any feeling before.
It's cliched as fuck.
Aye.
You know how they show poor people having fun?
Aye.
Just a load of lads dancing in the dirt.
That's always
just a load of folk round a wee black kid dancing. There you go. Fucking. Yes, that's how we kick things back in the poor neighbourhoods.
Fucking Irish people, they always do that to us.
Oh, my
God. The Titanic.
Yeah.
Go down to the Irish quarters.
Yeah. Never happier than when they're fucking dancing. Yeah.
Everybody hammered, spitting on
dancing
each other.
Dancing and abortions, that's all they do down there.
Couple of paedophiles.
That bit when they lie down in the road, right? Yeah. First of all, and quite rightly, the guy doesn't swerve at all.
So
if they don't move, they're getting mowed down.
Yeah.
He keeps on the same path, right? Secondly, he says, me and my dad used to come out and do this, right? I don't care how poor you are, right? You're telling your dad, this is a one-time thing. This isn't a regular, we're not lying in the fucking streets.
Was that done to do?
Right. And then he says, we used to lie here and watch the lights change. They go from green to red to orange, and I was like, that's not how traffic lights go. That's not at all how that's not. So you either weren't paying attention or they're faulty traffic lights, because nothing goes straight from green to red.
Yeah So, that's great. The Fowler as well, by the way, he went and then they went and danced back in the road, by the way. The car just missed them, and then they went and he's wanted to dance, and then he went back into the middle of the road and started dancing.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck off.
Yeah.
The Fowler, his Fowler, was trying to pump her.
Yeah, I think so.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. And also, she brought him a painting, and he just went, oh, give me that. And he looked in front of her, and he's like, oh, this is fucking lovely.
Aye.
I know where to hang this. And you're just like, there's nothing to do with
you. He dies very quickly as well.
Yeah, they were just like...
From nothing.
Aye, he didn't look too
nothing
old.
Nothing wrong with him.
Didn't look too old.
You never get an explanation of why the dad died.
Yeah, just say fever got him.
Gives
anything.
Up absolutely everything for his son to buy.
Buy a dilapidated house.
I'm just reading my notes. All I've got is the girl's dad is Milo.
I've got one here where she goes to him, do you think in another life I could be a bird?
Oh.
Eddie, I could be a bald eagle, but Jake in another life.
If you're,
could be a
if
bird.
You're, if you're a bird, I'm a bird.
yeah, that's it. If you're a bird, I'm a bird.
I hope you're both birds and you get sucked into the fucking jet.
Look at this. Her dad's basically Milo. I so unromantic, though. First of all, she does try. Not only does anyone ends up being in her house, but he tries to bang her in an abandoned house. First of all.
Yeah.
Puts a sheet down.
Yeah.
That's
like a Scooby-Doo haunted house is where he takes her to pump her for the first time. It's
beggar's belief.
It's mental. Utterly mental.
Fucking hell. Have you ever seen, by the way, The Shield?
What, the TV series? Yeah.
Do you remember, did you notice that the girl that he was banging in between, Ryan Gosling was banging, that he didn't love, he was just like, oh, you know, the voiceover kept going, oh, to keep them nights warm.
Yeah.
Pump this hoe. Do you remember she was in The Shield?
No.
She was like the one that Michael Chiklis had to keep giving money. She was like the crack whore with the baby that kept fucking. I was like, it's very funny. She was a complete mess. And then in this, she's banging Gosling. I went,
she gets treated like shit.
Oh, she seems fine with it.
That's a weird...
Why, I can see it in your eyes. You're angry.
That's a weird, weird scene. When she turns up and they've been banging all night.
Yeah.
And then she...
Can I come in?
She can sense, probably because the fact that he fucking stinks of minge, because he's been banging all night, right? And she goes, is that her? Is that the one? And he goes, I'd really like to meet her. And you go, well,
why?
I'm sorry, she's out. She's upstairs fucking draining cum from her arse. She'll be down in a sec.
That's poetic there, Mark, for the notebook. Roger Ebert there. She's upstairs draining cum from her arse.
And then she goes in, and this is like early morning, and then she leaves at night. What day was that? What fucking day? Because they're both horny as fuck, and you've got her hanging about like...
She's like, I am going to cock block right now. That's what her... It was just a big cock block. She's like, well, if I'm going to fucking ruin this, and if I'm not the... I want to be the one draining cum, screaming outside the house. And I love... By the way, there's something that has to be said, too, about... He's got the America's longest boxers.
Yeah, but is that not a fashion of the time?
Well, I mean, it went through time and he was wearing the exact same boxers, which 30 years later, it was never 30 years
What is the time span of this? Because they seem to be about 17 when this starts. And then I don't know what it goes to, because it goes through the war.
Yeah, it goes through the war and then, the dad's dead.
The summing up of World War II was quite fascinating. So they
were enjoying General Patton's war.
They sign up, and then in the what seems because so what year did America join the war? 41.
I think was it not later 40? Oh, maybe it was
41, 42. Right, yeah, it was done by 45.
Yeah,
in that time they managed to fight in both the desert
and
what looks like Russian snow.
Yeah, General Patton as well. Yeah, so it was where was that? That was. Patton's Third Army, they said.
I mean, it's...
Fuck.
What that scene where it's basically about 50 American troops trudging through the snow and then the entire fucking Luftwaffe come at them.
yeah. They also, by the way, they really stare at that until the first bomb.
Yeah.
They're like looking at these planes coming going...
Yeah.
Until the first one, they go, oh shit, that's not ours.
Yeah.
I think you'd know they're coming.
The guy gets that Connolly dude gets no distinguished death at all.
Yeah, he's lying in the snow.
Yeah, he just gets blown up and then that's it.
Yeah.
Gosling doesn't even cry.
He's like,
yeah. Oh well.
It's very funny, his name's Finn when he died.
Like. Yeah.
Finn.
Also, James Marsden, right?
So he gets done up the hoop as well.
So,
for this.
Oh, God, aye. She's volunteered as a nurse, right?
Yeah.
And she's a terrible nurse because he's in bed with an entire back cast on. So
this guy's
obviously got spinal injuries. She drags him up to give him a drink of water.
Yeah.
Then launches him down again, right?
Yeah.
So how is he... In what seems to be a couple of days period, gone from an entire upper body cast potentially paraplegic to then standing beside a car inside of a university looking dapper as fuck. Like, what kind of surgeon did he have?
That's his big chat up line to her.
Yeah.
I've got impressive recovery time.
It's fucking Wolverine.
Stand by a car, his dick out. Massive hanger. Oh, shit. Oh, that? It peeks out time to time. Yeah, do you know when they were having the in the sex scene? Because I was watching it in the dodgy box, so it's obviously like a weird thing. But just during the sex scene, a little like notification came up at the bottom right corner. It goes screenshot .jpg, and I was like, did someone who whatever was recording the film, did someone try and screenshot the sex scene? And I was like, oh,
it's on Prime. You don't even need to watch it in dodgy box.
Oh,
it's on Prime.
No, there you go.
It means you can get the trivia.
Oh, the trivia.
The sex scene's weird.
Yeah, it's...
Because it was obvious that... I think it must have been... There must have been a no nudity clause in this at all. Because everything is blocked in a way that you see nothing of either of them.
Yeah, yeah. And you also... And they also abuse the black maid, so...
Not during the sex scene.
Not. Get out of here! Get out of here!
But yeah, because I noticed that everything is very... Every arm, elbow, shoulder, chin is very strategically placed.
Yeah.
To block. It's like, you know that scene in Austin Powers where things keep coming out to block his dick?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like that. Everything is there for a reason to block whatever genitalia you might see from the two of them.
I think it really take the edge off the movie as a romance if you see him with a big fucking hard on in an abandoned house. Oh no, the first time they have it is actually in his house. They don't have sex then, don't they? No, that's what is it? No, when they go to have sex, she freaks out, and then his friend runs in. What the hell are you doing? And he's like, I knew you would try to pump her in this abandoned house.
Exactly.
But her parents were looking.
And the fact that they're disgraced, the fact that her parents are looking for her. Of course, her parents are looking for her. How can you be taking the moral high ground here?
You're
the one that's taken their daughter to an abandoned haunted house to shag her.
They're coming for you.
For fuck's sake. And
they bring him. He's trash, trash, trash. And he tries to leave. And that's when he does the smacking thing. You know, basically they move then, you know. It was like a summer thing. And then they kind of move. First of all, the family move. And she tries to catch him down at the lumber yard or whatever. And she comes down. He was like, where is he? And he goes, I cried laughing. She was like, he's out delivering a load. I was done. I was like, oh, I couldn't use any.
He's out delivering a load.
I was like, I bet he is.
Do you see when they first invite Gosling to like high tea or like that garden party, and they're all sitting in that tent having like, there's all the rich people. Do you see how that scene starts on the dad telling a joke, on Milo telling a joke?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Do you know what that joke is?
No, I kind of missed it. It was something about a horror.
Basically, it's like, so the joke, because I got it from the punchline.
Okay.
The joke basically is, in a modern version, or the version I know, would be like, a dad goes to his son. A dad, wait a minute, I'll think about this. I'm making an arse of myself here. Dad and his son are chatting, right? Dad goes to the wife, right? If Ryan Gosling offered to sleep with you for, he would pay you £1 million.
Okay.
Would you do it? And she goes, absolutely not, absolutely not, absolutely not. What if he offered you £10 million to sleep with you? She was like, well, of course I would, of course I would, of course I would. And then they go to the daughter and it says, right, if Justin Bieber or Zac Efron offered you £10 million to sleep with you, would you do it? Absolutely, absolutely. And then he's talking about his son, and he's like, well, here's the thing, son, right? Potentially, we are sitting on... Oh, it's a difference between potential and reality, right? So potentially, we're sitting on £20 million here, but in reality, we're living with a couple of whores, right? I mean, that's the joke he tells. Okay. I fucked that up, which is terrible great, for a professional comedian. But
well, there's a lot going there. Like nobody really does them at all. Yeah, you know, fucking like
that. I remember hearing that joke years ago and going, so I couldn't believe the fact that they were telling that as a 1940s.
Yeah.
Before the 1930s. Zac
Efron wouldn't even be alive.
Yeah.
That's great.
You go.
Was it the good dude that, by the way, the handsome chap, was it Marston that said to her that I find it very funny, them accents anyway.
The southern.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
My intentions are
fully dishonorable.
Yes, that's good. That was good, Ryan.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I hope to frequent your ass.
Yeah.
It's so fucking guy. The guy's name was Lon Hammond, isn't it?
Yeah. My, Mr. Dawson. My considering honest. Your ass me so graciously, of course you can ride my ditties.
Yeah, ride my ditties. I hope to peel back your flaps, ma'am. What the fuck? Your parents, they will love me. I come from money. Money. They always say money. Like.
Would that lady enjoy some jizz in her eye?
Because I know I would. he did the old talk like that sometimes. But when he's like, that's just sort of like, Christ, my intentions are fully dishonorable. That's like that vodka grape. Why, my. Seems like you got a boot back there.
Would it be dishonorable of a lady to request that the man's brother also take her up the ass at the same time?
My intentions are titty wank like. Jesus Christ. Just because you said, like, in some sort of a. There was a vodka black ice advert that was top class that reminded me of that it was so funny when the new couple landed at the door. You know, he's meeting the parents, and they were like, what's your intentions towards my son? And he was like, the same intentions you had when you first met your wife. And she goes, oh, and he goes, fucking great ad. His eyes were so good. He was like, shit. Lon Hammond, yeah. And some of the swearing in this too. Even though they said shit and asshole and fuck some random times, there was one part he goes, hey, watch it, screwball.
There's a swearing in this?
There was a few
times.
There was
a fuck?
I think there was a fuck, yeah. There was a... This is why I meant it was quite weird. They all genitals were gone.
Yeah.
And then there was a random couple of swearing in it. Like, I think it's 12s, you know.
Aye.
You know? I don't know why you'd be watching it under 12 in fairness, or over. Is you know when she's getting married? Is the veil too much? And she was like, fucking, she looked like the Michelin man. There was that much white in her.
But she then takes the veil to the bath.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Looking at photos of him. Why, how really, did she have a photo of him? Why would she have a photo of him?
No, that's in the paper.
Oh, the she paper. She sees it in the paper. Right. Yes. Man buys house.
Yeah, that's very little going on in that. Also,
front
right,
page.
Wait a minute here, right? That's a good fucking point.
Yeah.
She's in New York by this point.
That's right.
Why is that on the front page of a New York paper?
New York Times, man does up.
Man does up house.
Local Seabrook.
Yeah.
Was it Seabrook? The fuck? Local Seabrook home. they kind of hinted it used to be somewhat famous, but even so it was.
Shit.
Wow, just mad.
Local Shaking Stevens fan does up home.
Oh, that's so fucking fun. Oh, remember he says to her, you slow down. When she was drinking when they re-meet, they start drinking and he goes, you better slow down or I might have to take advantage of you.
Yeah.
It's just like, again, rapist. Yeah.
And she was like, one more of these and you'll have to carry me out of here. Right? Which I would, from what I would take is, I'm on the cusp. Right?
Yeah.
But still gets in the car and fucking lots. They bother driving home like.
Fucking nearly kills someone again.
Exactly.
These two people are a disaster. They've nearly killed multiple people and themselves. And it was a load of gaslighting and a load of fucking. And no harm. I know they were trying to see your man, Lon Hammond. They tried to, like. Oh, but she was like a week away from getting married and it fucked off to her ex.
Yeah.
And they tried to pass it off as romantic.
I was hoping that you'd get a scene where he turned up to Gosling's house.
Yeah.
But he never turns up at all.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how she broke the news to him.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's just she drives in and then, oh yeah, oh yeah, fuck yeah, you see that? Because he tells her, like, basically, I've been pumping your man for days here. Weird bit when his current girlfriend turned up and we had breakfast, lunch and dinner together.
Lon's here.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just sitting there, he's like, he's here? He's like, Lon's here.
He takes it very well.
Nah, he's like, well.
Because I'd have been in the car driving straight down.
Loading the shotgun.
Who do you think would win a fight in the two of them?
Gosling.
Yeah, Gosling.
I think he'd be a fighter.
Because a woodworker.
Yeah, lumber.
Yeah.
Those are guys, men of money.
But then...
But he might cheat. Might have a wee knife or something.
That's true, a shank.
Yeah, he's got a shank ready.
Yeah. Plus, Gosling escaped the war unscathed, whereas he was...
Yeah, that's right. Where he was injured at every possible part of his body, it looked
like.
Quick recovery time.
Maybe that's what he was thinking. He was like, if this goes to fisticuffs, my body is barely holding itself together anyway, I'm just going to have to let her go. My only chance is her growing a conscience here because...
Yeah, you may as well pump my wife.
Yeah, they're both horrible people.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the
Gosling's a horrible, horrible, miserable, creepy, stalking, obsessed, weird wood guy.
Even when they left on the summer holiday, they built a house because she told him to.
Yeah.
And built the porches around. That's fucking mental.
He's a prick, and she is an indecisive... God. An indecisive whore.
He's a fucking prick. And she's an indecisive whore. The Notebook. He's a prick. She is a dirty, indecisive whore.
The trailer. He was an obsessive, creepy prick from the wrong side of the tracks. She was a high society, indecisive whore who loved the dick.
The Notebook, in brackets. There's no notebook in the film. You know, it's also great. The guy, the old guy goes, today seems like a day for a miracle. And he died that day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, see the fact that they both die in the same bed.
Oh, God, I remember.
Right? There is not a chance in hell there wouldn't be a criminal investigation out of that. Because
that's why that woman was, look, when he found it to them, that woman that let her in, she was just like, I've lost my job rather than. Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen. If that would be front page news in this country. If two people in a nursing home had died in the same bed together.
Yeah.
I mean, for fuck's sake.
COVID.
And why does she remember him then?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is that?
Remember that day? Because I thought you were gone.
She's already kicked him out. So why is it when she's nearly asleep in bed, does she suddenly remember who he is?
He was absolutely fine. Like, oh, go to sleep with my Johnny. Duke. He called him Duke. They never don't say why he was called Duke.
Yeah.
They call him Duke to hide the fact that it's even though it's pretty obvious from literally scene one that it's going to be them two. Like, you don't have to, you just don't say his name.
Aye.
There's an easy way of not saying his name. Some sort of, we'll throw them off, we'll call him Duke.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine, you must be dense if you don't immediately get the fact that he's the...
Yeah, yeah. obviously.
Like, how, if it hadn't been him, what would it have been?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I remember when the kids visit, they were like, they try to hide it again, and then they go... Well, mom's not doesn't remember us. I'm like, yeah, we know.
It would have been a good twist if
he had not.
If he'd been Lon.
I was thinking that too.
That would have been good.
That was weird.
And Gosling had ended up losing the fucking plot.
That would have been
and gone
so
on a
good.
Murder spree in that lumber yard.
Or it was
like
all
that.
Lies. At the very end, he's telling the story. He goes, but you know what happened then? Duke turned out to be a rapist. He was a violent rapist and you lived happily ever after with a rich guy. It never happened. He's shooting a shot still because Duke's dead. They died in love and she got Alzheimer's. You sucked off Lon every day with joy in your eyes. Are you sure I didn't get with? Shut up! The second half of the Notebook's written in his writing. I'd love a house like that, in fairness. One that just would not survive any sort of storm.
Yeah.
Just sure would. I'm trying to think. Look, great twist, yeah. If the guy reading the tour was Lon Hammond.
Yeah, that would have been.
Oh, you know what would have been good? Do you know when the woman tries to let the old man go and visit? He goes, but I'll be going downstairs to get a coffee right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and he looks and she's already got a coffee.
Yeah.
It'd be great if he just... was so thick he didn't realise what was going on. Oh, you've already got one! Yeah, yeah. Down the... I'm saying that I will not be watching.
Yeah.
He lasted 30 seconds is another point I'd like to make.
What, in sex?
Goslin, yeah.
Yeah, but that like, yeah, he's probably been storing quite a lot of that up for...
It would have been like Scary Movie, she hit the roof.
And they're in the middle of the storm there, so he's probably thinking, this house isn't going to take this. I've got to offload a lot of this before. This fucking thing comes crashing down.
Sorry. I fucking can't believe I forgot this. Do you not remember when your one says, oh, look at me, I'm a big old ball bag.
Yeah, I'm a big old ball bag.
I'm a big old ball bag. I was like, what?
That's mental. That bit where,
I'm a little bit of a ball bag.
Where she takes him down the quarry or something.
She takes her down to the quarry to look at her.
And then they go and look at someone that looks like the fucking Thing from the Fantastic Four. And it's like, I know he's not much to look at now, but back in the day. But
can't take a baseball bat.
Because he looks at her. So I'm assuming, does he recognise her?
I presume not.
But then is he just looking at her in a way like, this fucking weird woman comes round every couple of weeks.
This rich cunt frigs herself off.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking into the quarry. I think she's looking at me. I have to start arguing. I think she's looking at me.
This woman either really likes me or is fascinated by stonemasonry.
Oh, I hope you make the right choice. Here's 365 of your letters. If she was never going to give them, why did she keep all of them?
Oh,
you know? Yeah.
Also, why, like, for 365 days, she got to the post box first?
Yeah, that's right.
Right, have you ever had, like, see when my kids order something from Amazon?
Yeah.
Right, and it's coming on a day they're off school. I can barely get them away for the fucking post box or the front door knowing that it's coming, right? Mm. If you have had to leave the absolute love of your life and he said he's going to write to you.
Yeah.
For at the very least that first week, you're hanging about that post box.
Yeah.
You're at the Royal Mail bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You're at the postman going, has anything come? Has anything come? You're not just leaving it to your ma to go and... And what, the man never left that entire time? What? Why not check the mailbox when she's down fucking juicing her clit to fucking Rock Lobster? Like, fucking...
That guy was... Look at him now. He's just shoveling coal. Oh, fuck me.
Oh, God. Utterly abysmal, shite... Pointless film.
What was the spot? What was the point in her story? You just went in and was like, I come down here often. You're like, what? You probably think I'm a mad old woman. Yeah?
I've very rarely watched a film where I've sat there and gone, this didn't need to be made.
It's just,
there's nothing about that. Like, it's just shite.
Yeah, it was very, I did laugh quite a lot of it. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
If you... I don't imagine you enjoy this film for anything other than a romantic thing. But if you do find this kind of shit romantic, then get a grip.
Take a look at yourself.
Yeah. I get right in the real world because fuck me, man. I hope if you are a person out there that loves this film and sees this as the absolute ultimate romantic ideal, I hope you find someone like Goslin in this film.
Yeah, yeah.
And he stalks you and hunts you down and skins you and lives in your skin.
Yeah, yeah.
For at least a year.
Makes a kayak out of
it. Yeah.
To go look at
swans. I hope that happens. I hope you die a horrific death.
It's so good. That was a good one. It's so funny. Ah.
But
my intention is to jazz you.
The jazz soundtrack is very good. I genuinely enjoyed a lot of the music in it. I enjoyed a lot of the music.
Oh, God. So the music was good.
I like pre-war jazz.
There you go. Out. Okay. Well, yeah. If you like the music, then I thought most of the acting was all right, considering the nightmare of the script and everything. I mean, I don't think there's much you can do with that bar.
Is that the work of Miles Davis, m'lady? I don't know, sir, but I sure am planning on tromboning you. Now get your sweet little asshole over here.
Oh, God, so bad.
While I tug your penis like...
I'm playing. I plan to frequent your pussy. I plan to frequent.
Why, Mr. Heathersharp?
Yeah.
Would you mind taking a shit on my chest?
Fuck's sake. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Great stuff.
What's next week?
Next week.
Yo!
Castaway.
Yes.
Yeah, Castaway, which is, you know, Tom Hanks on an island. What more do you want?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of things, but
yeah,
I kind of did notice. I'll keep it for tomorrow, but I didn't know it was a Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah. Is this our first Hanks film?
Yeah,
I think it might be.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Epstein Island Zone.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Hom Tang. Autumn Shang.
Imagine that if Castaway, if the island was Epstein. Right, let's save that for next week. Fucking hell. My God, I feel a Home Alone theory coming on here.
That would be so good. He just goes through the fucking woods and comes out and it's Stephen Hawking. I haven't been on this side of the island. It was Hawking hammering about the kids.
Castaway was Hanks discovering Epstein's island. And an uninhabited island that they could do their sexual. Oh my God. Right.
Well, I'm gonna, a wee boy.
I'm going to go away. For a week, I'm going to go away and work on this theory. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you have, please, I say this every week, nobody ever fucking does it, but it generally does help boost us up for more people listening and watching if you give us 5-star reviews. So if you do and you get a chance, then that'd be class.
Word of
mouth is good as well, yeah.
And all that type of shit.
Yeah. In terms of when this one will come out, I will have... So I think this one will come out on the 8th. Wednesday the 8th. Wednesday the 8th. Wednesday the 7th.
Okay,
Wednesday the 7th of February. Tomorrow night, I am at the Old Fire Station in Carlisle.
I know that place good.
Thursday the 8th for my tour show, and I am at the Frog and Bucket in Manchester. Classic historical venue in comedy, the Frog and Bucket, on Sunday the 11th. So if you fancy coming along, that would be class.
Colin, I will just be going to Australia literally the end of that week.
Yeah.
So I'm here in Adelaide that month. Yeah.
So yeah, if you're listening, because we've got quite a few folk listening in Australia. So
do we?
If you're in the Adelaide area.
Yeah. I'm doing the best of the Edinburgh Fest.
Yeah.
The best.
The best. The absolute. The absolute best. Cream.
The absolute cream of the crop. Didn't do the Fringe last year.
See how detailed a show that is.
Great.
Apart from that, we'll see you next week. Ryan, if I'm a bird.
Yeah. I'll be a bird. I'll be a bird as well.
Oh, God. See you later. Bye-bye.